Welcome, believers. This is Lucha Lowdown. I am your host and El Jefe of this podcast, James Kincaid. With me tonight, as always, El Guapo Jeff Budd.
Hey, man.
Why the laugh?
I know, because I'll tell you after the show, I had an intro that I'm not going to do.
All right, fair enough. Fair enough. But welcome back to Lucha Lowdown, your one stop for all things Lucha Underground. We are going to be discussing and reviewing and just breaking down the 11th episode of Season 3 of Lucha Underground, Aztec Warfare 3. I was blown away by this episode, Aztec Warfare. I was thinking about it this morning, it's just how excited I was for Aztec Warfare and how much they've built this up. It really is just such a fun event that Lucha Underground has created here, Jeff. Were you stoked? Were you busting with anticipation?
Maybe not as much as you, but it's one of those landmark episodes of the season that you kind of look forward to. Like, all of these episodes have almost kind of been like a build-up to Aztec Warfare. And one thing I kind of like about the design of Aztec Warfare is it sort of like guarantees the title shifting hands. I mean, I know it doesn't necessarily guarantee that, but I mean, so far that's been the case, which I like.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think one of the other things that I know we've talked about, maybe not on the show, but definitely in our personal lives, is that one of the really cool things they do in Aztec Warfare is they weave the storylines that are ongoing in really well with this sort of Royal Rumble-ish styled match. So, they don't forgo any of those, and they bring them in a really cool way.
Yeah, the matchups always end up happening like that when people are coming out. Yeah, I like that.
So we started off this episode with a backstage vignette with Johnny Mundo, Dario, and a cameo by Taya. With Mundo essentially, first of all, they're doing a documentary about Johnny Mundo, and I think it's awesome.
I want that documentary.
Yeah, working title from Small Town to Slam Town. that's my idea. But take that for whatever it's worth. But I love,
created by James Kincaid.
Yes. So I thought that was hilarious in its own right. It was good just to hear Taya's voice after the injury and everything. But Johnny Mundo coming in there to basically put over that he is not using his gift of the gods in Aztec Warfare, but it's going to become essentially like an insurance policy. He's going to win. He's got the number 12 slot. He's going to win the title in Aztec Warfare, and then he's going to just essentially be protected because he has the gift of the gods, which is really ingenious. If he could pull it off. And then he says, but just in case, I'm going to cash it in if I do not win next week against whoever the winner is. And Dario, very nonplussed about all of this, takes his little slip and rips it up and says, now you're coming in at number two. And we know that Matanza is number one. So that was a bad beat for Johnny Mundo. What'd you think of that segment?
Well, that's because Mundo was kind of like old style Mundo again. He was getting in Dario's face. Now that he's the Gift of the Gods champion, he kind of had a bit more of his strut again, and Dario had to break him down. I loved it though.
Yeah, no, it was great. And then we get, so again, like we've talked about, is the announcers are unaware of this that's going on. We have the monster Matanza Cueto is in the ring, and he Cueto goes up to Melissa Santos, essentially tells her that, you know, it's not going to be Sexy Star, who was originally scheduled to come in at number two. And it's going to actually be Johnny Mundo. So, we'll talk about all this later, but heavy just implications and storyline things and that go on with that. But so Aztec Warfare is on. It's Mundo getting essentially crushed by Matanza in the early going. And then at number three, Son of Havoc came in. And again, no eliminations yet because it's pinfall or submission. It's not just over the top rope. And then we got Jeremiah Crane making his appearance, and he was one of the ones that stood out to me as seeing him do his thing. Jeff, what did you think?
Dude, yeah, I really liked his moveset. He's super aggressive. He was very effective, I thought, which I didn't know exactly how he was going to stack up, like, power level-wise versus some of these other guys, because, like, Mundo and Matanza are definitely heavy hitters, and this season Son of Havoc is really coming to his own as well, and actually even the end of last season. But then, like, Crane was even directing traffic. It was the three of them against Matanza, and it was really, you know, his orders going.
Yeah. No, it really was. His moveset looks so hard-hitting and slick. At number five, Pentagon Dark came in, and I gotta say, right when he was making his entrance, he nailed Matanza with an absolutely wicked super kick as we went to commercial break. That was freaking awesome. And then when we got back, Pentagon Dark was just kicking ass, and that's when we got PJ Black at number six. But it was when number seven Mariposa came in that Crane really got to start doing his stuff. Like, he hit that sick move, the Crane Driller on her, that just looked absolutely vicious. But then, you know, we hadn't had an elimination yet, and we're seven people in here, and Matanza freaking grabbed Crane by the back of his hair and hit him with that roller coaster German suplex that bridged into a pin that looks absolutely savage. Crane was the first one eliminated in this one, and then I think Mariposa followed soon afterward.
Yeah, after some strange potential flirting with
Matanza. Oh, that's right. This was one of my favorite. Yeah, so they
some moth pheromones in the air or something.
Yeah, Matanza and Mariposa have like this little crawl stare down thing, and like I'm watching. It's like, oh my god, like love is blooming here, and then Matanza just friggin' crushed Mariposa, and that was all for her as well. So that was two eliminations right off the bat for Matanza, and I think Matt Stryker pointed out that was 11 straight for him in Aztec Warfare at this point. Then number eight, we got El Rey, Rey Mysterio, coming in, and it was, it's always a huge moment when he enters a match like this, and he was getting to do his thing, but again, Matanza still very much so. He is this dominant force champion. We haven't seen anybody beat him. It looks like it's going that way. Number nine, Jeff, I was thinking about you because Dr. Wagner Jr. Made his entrance way. So we got two Lucha Legends back-to-back there. What'd you think of Dr. Wagner showing?
I thought at first he was pretty decent. As he was coming to the ring, the only people that were in the ring fighting was Pentagon and Rey. And then he joined up with Pentagon right away to double-team Rey.
Yes.
I would have liked the good doctor and Ray to just kind of have a little bit on their own for a while. Just yeah. A little showcase right there. That would have been awesome.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
Yeah, and then I was going to say a lot of Dr. Wagner Jr.'s action after that was getting the crap kicked out of him by Matanza.
I mean, that was a lot of Luchador's fates in this match down courtesy of Matanza.
Yeah, one thing I do like about Aztec Warfare, though, is you see matchups that you really wouldn't see. Dr. Wagner Jr.'s name was on the Dial of Doom, and I kind of wanted it to pop up once just to see what it was like to have him go against Matanza, but I always had that feeling that it wasn't going to because it doesn't really help the narrative that much. Getting to see the two of them fight, I thought that was really interesting. Matanza goes against somebody else a little later that I liked a lot as well. I'll wait until his name gets called, and then I'll point it out.
Yeah, okay. All right, that's fair.
Oh, actually, you know what? I'm sorry. He was the next one on the list, Marty the Moth Martinez.
Marty the Moth at number 10, and he went right out after Matanza, and I thought that was great, and I tweeted this out, that it was like Norman Bates going after Michael Myers, just the amount of insanity that was going on there, and Marty acquitted himself very well.
Well, size-wise, it's like, yeah, Marty's a big dude, and he also has Sierra Miedo just because he's insane.
Yeah.
He's kind of immune to like Matanza's effects.
And I appreciated that they really played that up, is that, yeah, he gave no shits about the Matanza's intimidation and just went right out after him. And he did that sick like plancha or whatever. It was great. I mean, it was a great moment for Marty the Moth. That was pretty much, I think, the high point for him in Aztec Warfare.
Yeah.
Number 11 was Jack Evans, so, I mean, we're really starting to build up the Worldwide Underground numbers here.
Especially because they are working together and beating the crap out of everybody that they get their hands on.
That's when Son of Havoc got eliminated by Evans pretty straight away there. And, actually, it was Evans, Black, and Mundo that all kind of triple-pinned him. That's right. But then Sexy Star was in at number 12, who, of course, had Johnny Mundo's original number because Dario made the old switcheroo. And Worldwide Underground, they, of course, are, you know, going to team up on Sexy Star pretty much right off the bat because, I mean, that's what they do. that's who they're feuding with. They don't like Sexy Star. And they really...
And she doesn't like them. She went straight for him.
Yeah, she did. She absolutely did. But it was at this point that number 13, lucky number 13, Ricky Mandel came out. And, when I was seeing this, because we talked about our experiences at Lucha and Vivo, and I thought we were going to see a new member of Worldwide Underground come to be here. But that was not the case because he ran right into the buzzsaw that was Pentagon Dark. He got hit with the package pile driver. It was looking like Ricky was going to get his arm broken again by Pentagon. But this brought us to my first "This is why I love Lucha" moment of the evening, and one of the biggest ones of my entire life. Because, Jeff, you and I have talked about it on the show since we saw the vignette with the Lotus Triad and everything like that, that were coming to the temple to exact revenge. It was like, I want to see ninjas sort of assail the temple from all corners. And this was about as close as we could have gotten to our vision, because the Black Lotus Triad showed up, and they all assaulted my guy, my boy, but it was awesome. They all assaulted Pentagon Dark in awesome fashion. What did you think of this?
No, I thought it was great, because this is what we've been waiting for, was the ninja ambush. And I thought it happened in an opportune time also, because he had just gotten the best of Ricky, and he was doing pretty well in Aztec Warfare. So then they come out when there's a match with no rules so they can legally do this, and they beat the crap out of him.
Yeah.
And ruined his chances.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, which led directly to Pentagon's elimination. So Pentagon was eliminated fairly early in this. Well, it led first to and then Ricky was also eliminated post haste as well. But we got Masquerita coming in very shortly. No pun intended. Well, maybe pun intended. He was in the match for maybe the shortest amount of time in a lot of different ways. And so he was eliminated straight. Famous B, though, at number 15 was another great moment, I thought, because he took out his little number and was all excited, and he immediately tries to sell Rey Mysterio with one of his business cards. And this was just epic moment. Just perfect. He's going 4-2-3, and then Rey just cuts him off, drags him by his tie, throws him into the ropes, goes, no, 6-1-9, and eliminates Famous B. What did you think?
That was my "why I love Lucha" moment, because he was selling it so hard. I just also like how he hands the business card over to Rey, how he just kind of slides it over.
Yeah, he just went over and hugged him, tried to give him the business
card. Well,
hey,
man, that's a living legend. That's a celebrity. And if he could get a couple of guys like that, you know, on his roster, forget about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's only got Wagner.
Yeah, exactly. So then after Famous B, it was the Mac. But the entrant, number 17, Joey Ryan, was another standout moment for me. And we remember Joey Ryan's first foray into Aztec Warfare when he tried to handcuff himself to one of the railings in the temple. This time he went and handcuffed himself to sort of like the more sturdy stairway railing, thinking that nobody would be able to mess with him there. And you know, Matt Stryker and Vampiro, who were on point on commentary all night long, particularly at the end of this match, which made it all that more epic, you know, putting over
one line in the beginning.
Wait, what?
There was one line in the beginning that I thought they were pretty on,
go ahead.
On
what
point
was it?
With their commentary. It had to do with Son of Havoc. And
Crane. yeah we totally we got a backpedal to that was a commentary moment that I
because we actually I don't think talk about the two of them standing off against each other, which is something that you and I have been talking about for weeks, because obviously they both have dated Ivelisse.
That's a great point. That is something that I actually had, I somehow skipped over in my notes, is that so we did see Son of Havoc and Jeremiah Crane meet face to face and start fighting. And again, there is that sort of ex-boyfriend, current boyfriend thing. And Matt Stryker on commentary. Yeah. And Matt Stryker on commentary, after Mundo had both kicked Son of Havoc and Jeremiah Crane, a moment later, Matt Stryker says, Son of Havoc, Jeremiah Crane both have similar tastes in their mouth. Ate the boot from Johnny Mundo or something to that effect. It's just like, don't try and cover it up, you sly bastard. That was hilarious. So don't try and cover that up. That was amazing. Good catch by you. That was really funny. And then when Joey Ryan was coming out, though, Matt Stryker again is like, you know, when you wipe and you get a little bit on your finger, that's Joey Ryan. Oh, outstanding. So he handcuffed himself. They're putting over the fact that it's like, well, surely nobody will rip out that concrete and everything like that. And the action's continuing on in the ring. But number 18, Mil Muertes, comes out And to me, what jumped to mind was like the Ron Burgundy with Joey Ryan. He even looks like him. It's just like, I immediately regret this decision because Milmuertes comes over, rips the handcuff right off the railing, and throws Joey into the ring, flatlines him. And I forget who, somebody ate the Wrath of the Gods, and there was a pin in
Wagner.
That's right. So Matanza hit a Wrath of the Gods on Dr. Wagner. So there was this great stare down pin in stereo of Joey Ryan getting eliminated and Wagner getting eliminated, and then Matanza and Milmuertes start facing off. I thought that was freaking awesome. What'd you think?
Oh no, I thought that was epic. And then it was just these two monsters, these two just like forces of nature's wailing on each other right after that. I mean, I know that we've seen them face each other before, but every time they do see each other in the ring, which isn't often, you know, it's monumental.
Yeah, no, they, I mean, they, yeah, they had that great, the Graver Consequences match. The match before that, yeah, that ended in the no decision, which I thought was even better. One of my all-time favorite just sign-off moments was them going through the roof of Dario's office and then Katrina and Dario just yelling at one another. It was just that. So, yeah, seeing them face off again is always special because they are, I mean, they're the two most scary forces in Lucha Underground, are Milmuertes.
Yeah, because they're two of the most powerful beings and they're both evil.
Yeah, absolutely. So then at 19, yeah, we got Cobra Moon, who we've not seen. This is her in-ring debut for Lucha Underground Season 3, so it's good to see her in action. But it made me think, it's like, we know who number 20 is going to be. It's going to be Drago, and, like, you know, she wants Drago to bring it home for the Snake Tribe, but they went right after each other. So, you know, Cobra Moon, you kind of made your own bed there. Drago hit that sick pin that we saw him do on Aerostar, actually, at the Lucha en Vivo event, which I really like. That's a sick fucking move. And that eliminated Cobra Moon pretty quickly. So now we have all of our entrants in there. Drago didn't last much longer either. And then it became this whole, like, well, it's looking like Matanza's just going to keep it again kind of deal. Or so it would appear. Because as we're going... Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say Jack and PJ Black were both eliminated right before Drago came out.
Yes, that's right. So, yeah, for the Worldwide Underground's numbers were at this point neutralized. You know, you would think that that would be that. But then, so it was, we're getting down to the nitty gritty here. Drago's gone pretty shortly after he came in and eliminated Cobra Moon. And then, you know, again, looked like Matanza was going to put this on cruise control, but then they started using the strategy that they should have been using earlier, which is like everyone just starts going at Matanza, and they were going there. I mean, he was eating stunners, he was eating kicks, he was eating all these different moves, and then it was him and Ray in the ring together, and it was an incredible exchange of moves and everything like that. I was on the edge of my seat. Jeff, what did you think of that and the outcome? Go ahead, wax poetic for me.
Well, I mean, they tried the team up on Matanza a few times throughout the match, but I mean, when it comes to a Royal Rumble or when it comes to Aztec Warfare, you can only keep that strategy going for so long. There's going to be other rivalries. There's going to be places where you could take advantage of one of your other opponents. So at some point, Matanza doesn't get like triple teamed by everybody. When it's just Rey facing off against Matanza, that's what I love, because this is exactly who Rey Mysterio Jr. is. Just his stature versus Matanza. It's his speed versus Matanza's strength. This is the match that Rey Mysterio Jr. fights every single time. He's always the so-called underdog, even though he's got all the skills and power and experience. And yeah, he. What I loved was that he almost did 2 619s in a row against Matanza. But Matanza was so powerful that he was able to basically just stop the second 619 and pick Rey up.
Yeah, and I thought that was it for Rey, because Ray was,
that's what I thought too.
Ray was trying his hardest to flip him over, and Matanza grabbed Ray's leg, and I was just like, oh my God, no, he's going to do something just completely savage to Ray's knee here. And I was really worried about the little guy, about the king of Lucha Libre falling before Matanza again, but Ray held on and turned it into a code red. And I mean, this was a legit, like, oh my God moment. Ray eliminated, first pinfall ever done on Matanza. Ray had eliminated the champion. Jeff, I mean, what were you thinking?
It could be no one else. When it happened, I was like, it had to be Rey Mysterio Jr. Nobody else was worthy of this. I'll admit, in his debut at the last Aztec Warfare, and it was basically a who's who, every main guy there is on the roster going against Matanza one at a time, I was wondering if Ray was going to come out triumphant then, just so that it didn't seem like Matanza was too unstoppable. and that Rey would be the champion at least for a little bit in season two. But then Matanza was able to even take him out. And so I feel like I've had to wait a year, but then Rey Mysterio Jr. did what I always expected that he could do, and that was basically triumph over this monster.
Yeah, well said. And it was. I mean, I popped huge for it. It was a holy shit moment in a match filled with them. And also,
it's Matanza's first loss, but it takes nothing away from him whatsoever because it's the living legend, Rey Mysterio Jr.
Completely agree.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's gonna shake up the storyline.
And it took
him
everything
and Dario.
Also.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he'd been in since number one against Pride Comes Before a Fall. As much of this was Dario's doing to Matanza. Yeah. So it took everything to finally beat him. And then Matanza reacted very poorly. I mean, he beat down Rey savagely. Rey had to get carted out. And then...
Yeah, Matanza didn't leave.
He did not leave. No, he did not. And everyone just watching on as he just was brutalizing Rey Mysterio. Dario was incredulous, did not want to sort of concede that Matanza had been beaten. And Matanza did something that, in my opinion, is going to cost Matanza his life. And that is he attacked his brother. And, you know, it's the line from, I think it's Swordfish, which, you know, I never thought I'd be quoting Swordfish on Lucha Lowdown. But there's like that center is like, you know, if a dog bites you even once, you got to put it down. And so Matanza bit the hand that feeds him. And I am worried about his well-being coming forward because we have the ultimate opportunity. This god vessel has been beaten. Now we're going to get a new one. I think he might be on borrowed time. What do you think?
Oh, well, I kind of always wondered if Matanza was going to get like ripped apart by this new god vessel anyway. So, yeah. Probably. If Dario can't control him, then Matanza really has no use. It only works if Dario can control him.
Yep. And
otherwise, he's a liability.
So I think he might be on borrowed time. So we got down. It's Rey Mysterio eventually. Who pinned him, even?
Mundo, because Mundo's been taking advantage of all of these.
That's right. Mundo's a piece of shit.
Mundo was also laughing and flipping off Dario after Matanza had been eliminated.
I thought that was hilarious, too.
That was hilarious.
So then
PJ Black and Jack Evans come out.
Yes.
Just like Matanza. Right. And it's basically the Worldwide Underground triple teaming Sexy Star again.
Even though they've been eliminated.
There's no rules. Yeah, they both were eliminated by the Mac and with the assistance of Sexy Star. But, I mean, there's no rules, so they can kind of do whatever they want.
And they're talking about that on commentary. It's looking grim for Sexy Star as the Worldwide Underground, even though they've been eliminated, is beating her down. But this was another Why I Love Lucha moment, another holy shit moment in this. And Jeff, I know you were excited by this, had to be. The return of the South African string bean from whence he came, just jumping off the roof of Dario's office again into the crossbodying the Worldwide Underground out of nowhere. I mean, what a sick return, no?
Great return, but I don't want them to go to the well too often when it comes to that maneuver because it almost takes away from how phenomenal that was the first time.
I agree with you, but in this case, though, I thought it was definitely a good
no,
usage.
It's, for how long he's been gone and the hatred and rivalry that's formed between him and the Worldwide Underground, I thought it was totally appropriate.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he looked great, and it was just so – and that's basically all he did. He did that, annihilated them, and then got the hell out of there.
Yeah, then that's all he did. Sexy Star then was able to pin Johnny Mundo, which was a measure of revenge for her, and sets up something that we talked about before the season even started or early on in the season, that setting up a Mundo and Helico feud here in the future. And that is something I think that they are going to make good on in a singles feud here. And I'm excited for that. They're going to have some crazy good matches. I mean, we saw one of them in the San Diego Street Fight.
Yeah, and that was awesome. But, I mean, I'm looking forward to them just having straight-up matches, too, because let's face it, that match got a little chaotic at the end.
Yeah.
And I would be fine with just Mundo and Angelico showcasing their skills because both of them are just so agile and, well, fun to watch. And
so
they're two of my favorite guys.
Yeah, absolutely. They're going to tear the house down whenever they fight. We're down to the final three competitors. It's the Mac, it's Sexy Star, and it's Mil Muertes. And I mean, so
son of a bitch.
Yeah,
should have been Prince Puma.
Well, you know, that's what happens. A flatliner to the Mac, pretty quickly after
riding
that.
In the streets. I refuse to accept this.
Flatliner to the Mac, and the Mac was gone. So we are down to our...
Broke the Mac's neck, perhaps.
Dude, that was a vicious flatliner.
Well, you know why? Because he probably heard what I said about the last episode. We now know how to defeat the flatliner, and he said, no, you don't. I actually can kill people with this move.
He can bring a little... name. Little add a few ticks on that fastball to the flatliner and kill the Mac. Good God.
This was like a Super Saiyan flatliner.
Yeah, that was some stuff. So the Mac is gone, emphatically, and then it's just Mil Muertes and Sexy Star, and I mean strap in because this is gonna be just this was fantastic storytelling by Lucha Underground, and it's either we're gonna see a 2-time Lucha Underground champion, something that hasn't been done before, or we're going to see our first ever women's Lucha Underground champion and the first ever woman to hold a major, promotions heavyweight title, if I'm not mistaken. So they battled back and forth. And this is really when I thought Matt Stryker and Vampiro were really shining on commentary here. I mean, there is the moment, because Mil Muertes obviously beating down Sexy Star, but he's not content to just beat her. He goes out to, get all these weapons and everything like that. He really wants to make an example of her here. And she starts fighting.
Tables.
Yeah, table, chairs. She starts fighting back. And it's when she's swinging the chair shot after chair shot after chair shot to Mil Muertes that, again, I'm on the edge of my seat. I'm starting to believe that this is going to happen. And Stryker on commentary is just like, for everyone that told you you couldn't, do it now. Do it now. And I'm just like, holy shit. This is like, I'm getting like goosebumps, like watching this, like hearing Stryker's commentary and just watching the action going in the ring. Like I was flipping out. He kicks out at 2. And I'm just like, oh man. Like, and just watching.
Brought you back to the real world.
Yeah. Watching the crowd sort of rise and fall with all of this. I mean, it was a physical experience watching this just on TV. And I mean, it just, Mil Muertes, he again, beating her down, he clocks her with just this insane punch. And then, but he sells the fact that he's groggy and everything like that. So he sort of stumbles out, comes back in the ring. Sexy Star reverses him through the table, gets the roll up, kicks out at 2. So it's just like, holy God. And He sets up another table. He gets Sexy Star up on the top rope. Matt Stryker's talking about how, when she finally mustered up the courage to leave her abusive boyfriend, that's when she became Sexy Star. Just really putting all this over. Vampiro, meanwhile, is like, his heart's breaking. He's like, Sexy, you don't have to do this. Like, somebody, like, stop the match. Like, because Mil Muertes is going to, like, flatliner her through the table from the top rope. And, but Sexy starts fighting back, and they did this great pan over to the crowd of, like, a group of these women that were watching and just how excited they got watching her fight back. Mil Muertes goes falling through the table. She hits the double stomp from the top rope. 1, 2, 3. Wow, huge release from the crowd. And just, I couldn't believe it. They kept Mil looking strong, and they made Sexy Star look just insanely awesome in this. I mean, the first ever, woman to hold the main title for a mainstream promotion that I know of. I mean, that is pro wrestling history. I mean, what a moment for pro wrestling and for women. And that's no bullshit. I'm not like talking to hyperbole. I thought it was seriously awesome and a great moment. What'd you think?
I thought it was, like you said, historic. The crowd shouting, you deserve this. It was absolutely true. I was bummed when she didn't get to use the Gift of the Gods championship to basically get to the belt that way. But I thought this was almost even more epic just because Aztec Warfare is so legendary. So, and she still had to go against a different kind of monster. Instead of having to face off against Matanza, she had to go against Mil Muertes, which is no easier. So, I mean, she still very much earned it.
Yeah. I mean, and just again, the pandemonium that followed the match, her reaction, I mean, she was crying. It was unbelievable. And the commentary about her, Stryker, her shattering glass ceiling and seeing her own sparkling reflection. And, it was tremendous. And I'm so happy for Sexy Star. I think she's going to be a great champion. I mean, I don't know how long she's going to hold it on to it because next week she has to face Johnny Mundo, who is cashing in his Gift of the Gods. So, I mean,
rival.
Yeah. That is what I mean as far as like the beautiful symmetry, too, that is that they've weaved into Aztec Warfare, because Johnny Mundo has a legitimate gripe that Sexy Star won Aztec Warfare with the slot that was originally slated for him. And she won, even though now, granted, Worldwide Underground was interfering like crazy. She eliminated him because Angelico interfered. So there are all these great sort of heelish, I mean, again, not entirely rooted in logic, but in heel logic, why he would be pissed and everything like that. And now he is cashing in the very title that he won from her to take the main belt. I mean, it's crazy good storytelling, right?
No, it's awesome. It's epic. And I'll be interested to see how it all concludes, because whatever happens next week, I think then they can kind of move on, especially since Mundo kind of already has his next rival lined up.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, yeah, it's going to be, I mean, maybe it's going to be Mundo and Angelico fighting over the main title. I don't know. But either way, we're going to get the medallions spreading again after next week. So woo-hoo! That'll be fun.
Wagner gets one.
He probably will.
Maybe then the rabbits will finally show up too. That was one thing that was disappointing about tonight, was I thought we were going to see at least one rabbit. I thought we were going to see as many as three rabbits in Aztec Warfare. We saw zero rabbits.
Zero rabbits were in Aztec Warfare. Zero rabbits. But yeah, no, I was expecting them as well. And what a great match though. And just again, that the last sequence, I encourage anyone that loves wrestling, watch this match, watch the last sequence between Sexy Star and Mil Muertes, and just try not get like engrossed with what they're doing in there. Like, I mean, what a great underdog story that they told, and her winning, just a beautiful moment. One of the top moments in Lucha Underground up to this point, certainly of season three, just terrific stuff. That is going to do it for us here at Lucha Lowdown. I will say this, hashtag I'm with Sexy. Congratulations again, Sexy Star, new Lucha Underground champion. That's going to do it for us. For Jeff Budd, I'm James Kincaid. Good night, everybody.